Turn with me to the book of Jonah. Jonah chapter 1. Jonah chapter 1 and verse 4 through 17 will be the focus of our study this morning. Once you arrive there, I ask you to stand with me in respect and reverence for the Word of God. The title of the message today is How to Run from God. Something everybody needs to know. Today we're going to tell you how to do it, okay? All right, Jonah chapter 1 verse 4. But the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea. Let me back up just so you know where we are, okay? In the first part of this study, and last week, we covered how that God called Jonah to go to Nineveh. Jonah had different plans, different desires. So instead of going to Nineveh, Jonah goes the opposite direction, to Tarshish. He goes to and finds a ship that's going to Tarshish, pays his fare, gets on that ship, going absolutely the opposite direction in which God called him to go. Now we pick up the story in verse 4. But the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea. There was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken up. Then the mariners were afraid, and every man cried out to his God, and threw the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten the load. But Jonah had gone down into the lowest parts of the ship and lain down and was fast asleep. So the captain came to him and said to him, "What do you mean, sleeper? Arise, call on your God. Perhaps your God will consider us so that we may not perish." They said to one another, "Come, let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this trouble has come upon us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Then they said to him, "Please tell us, for whose cause is this trouble upon us? What is your occupation, and where do you come from? What is your country, and of what people are you?" So he said to them, "I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven who made the sea and the dry land." Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, "Why have you done this?" For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. Then they said to him, "What shall we do to you that the sea may be calm for us?" For the sea was growing more tempestuous. And he said to them, "Pick me up and throw me into the sea. Then the sea will become calm for you. For I know that this great tempest is because of me." Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to return to land, but they could not, for the sea continued to grow more tempestuous against them. Therefore, they cried out to the Lord and said, "We pray, O Lord, please do not let us perish for this man's life, and do not charge us with innocent blood, for you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you." So they picked up Jonah and threw him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice to the Lord and took vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you for your word. Now, Lord, we pray that you speak to us through the power and authority of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I've heard it said on more than one occasion that you cannot run from God. That is, in fact, not true. I can speak firsthand. I've done it. And so today, as a matter of fact, I've done it more than once. Today, I bring up this subject because we do tend to spend time running. For some reason, we have in our mind that God does not have our best interest in heart. He's trying to mess up my life, and he's trying to take my life that I want away from me. And so we tend to go the wrong direction. So, with that in mind, I've present to you this morning this message, how to run. You start, number one, if you're going to run from God, you first must hide. When Jonah got on the ship, it says he went into the lowest part of the ship and went to sleep. Why did he go to the lowest part of the ship? Because that was the place where likely as not, no one would notice him. His whole purpose with this journey is that he flee from the presence of the Lord. And so he doesn't just get on the ship and set up on top of the deck with everybody else. He gets on the ship and he goes down to the very bottom of that ship among the cargo so that nobody will know that he's even there. And he gets down there and he goes to sleep. The Bible says in verse 4 that we read that the Lord sent out a great wind. And the seas became very rough and was rocking the boat, and so much so that they were afraid the boat was about to break up. I find it interesting at this point that everyone on the ship knew they were in a storm. It was bad. People were praying to their gods. People were afraid. Everybody on the ship knows we're going to die, except Jonah. The cause of the whole problem is down in the bottom of this ship, asleep, oblivious to what's going on around him. So, after everybody's called upon their God, and instead of getting any answer, the waves are just growing larger and the ship being tossed more, the captain finds Jonah in the bottom of the ship and he says, "Wake up! What do you mean sleeping at a time like this? Get up and pray to your God." And see, it's right here that I have to stop and think. And I want you to get this, okay? This statement right here. You want to write it down, write it down. If not, just remember it. When you run from God, others will suffer. I'm going to say that again. When you run from God, others will suffer. And the reason that I've heard so often, "Well, what I do is my business. It's not hurting anyone but me." You're wrong. You're not living in isolation. There are people around you that depend upon your obedience to the Lord. And one of the greatest problems that we have in churches today is not only that we run, but we're like old Jonah. We want to hide. We come to church, and church has become not that place of service, but that place to hide. I've heard people make the comment that they just want to blend in. You ever heard people say that? It's just let me blend in and be part of the conversation. You realize that's not what God called you to? He didn't say, "Go ye therefore and blend in." It's not there. He called you to a ministry. So never think that it's okay for you just to blend in, go unnoticed, and not answer God's call. Because others are depending upon your obedience. As a pastor, I've come to realize through the years that I have a responsibility, first of all, to be where the Lord calls me to be. Yeah. And what I've discovered is, if I'm not where the Lord calls me to be, then not only am I affected, I've got a church full of people who have the wrong pastor. If I have a church full of people who have the wrong pastor, they're not going to grow as disciples of Christ. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm where I'm supposed to be, okay? But I want you to see the importance of being where you're supposed to be, doing what God calls you to do. because other people are depending on you. As a pastor, I have the responsibility to lead this church spiritually in the direction that God leads. If I do not, then all of you are going to follow me as we go in the wrong direction together. And you know what I've decided? I've decided that I don't want anybody to go through the storm because of me. I left a church one time because I wanted to. Didn't work out good at all. That church suffered, I suffered, and the church I went to suffered. You say, yeah, Brother Doug, you're a pastor. Well, yes, I am. But I want you to know, it does not only apply to pastors. Now listen to me. If you're not the father God has called you to be, your family's going to suffer because of your rebellion. If you're not the husband God has called you to be, your wife is going to suffer because of your rebellion. If you're not the wife God has called you to be, your husband and your children are going to suffer. If God has called you to teach a Sunday school class and you do not teach that class, you are cheating a Sunday school classroom full of people out of hearing the man that God has for them, or the lady for that matter. Okay? You've got to understand how vital obedience is in the Lord's work, not just for pastors. But if you want to run from God, go ahead and hide. Give it a shot. See how it works out. Second thing, if you want to run from God, I would strongly recommend that you do not pray. You're hearing things come out of my mouth this morning that you never hear come out. Hide from God. Don't pray. Brother Doug's lost his mind. Now, we'll get to the point of the sermon in a minute, okay? If you're going to run from God, do not pray. If you notice, when they woke Jonah up, the captain said, call on your God. Perhaps he'll consider us and we won't die. They knew that everybody, the false gods that the rest of the crew were calling on, this was not working. It was getting worse instead of better. And so they found Jonah. And that maybe this guy knows a God that'll hear and respond to our situation. And how appropriate. Jonah, stop and think. Jonah is a man of God. He's got a line of communication direct with God. Jonah is a Hebrew, meaning he's part of God's chosen people. It says he was a man who feared God. This was a guy that you would think that if you had trouble, I'm going to this guy so he'll pray for me. That's what Jonah should have been. But the captain says, wake up and pray. Maybe your God will have mercy on us. So Jonah wakes up from his sleep and he falls down on his knees. No, wait a minute. I'm missing something. I know that this man of God, who knew God, who feared God, somewhere had to pray while this storm was going on around him. Somewhere he had to call on. But you know what? It's not there. It's not there. They woke Jonah up, said, pray. Jonah got up and said, nothing. At this point, he has not breathed a word toward God. Why? Because you cannot have a prayer life and run from God at the same time. It does not work. I'm going to say that one more time to make sure you get it. You cannot have a prayer life and run from God. People have asked me before, Brother Doug, I just don't feel like my prayers are getting above the ceiling. I want to say, what's your relationship with God like? Are you obedient? Are you responding to God's call? You see, if you're not, it doesn't work. The reason it doesn't work is because every time you pray, God doesn't just avoid the subject. You get on your knees to pray and you cry out to God and you say, God, help me with this. He's going to say, well, what about doing what I called you to do? And pretty soon, you don't want to hear that anymore. It's funny how people will... When I was dealing with the running from the call to preach, didn't really like to go to church. You know why? Because every time they gave an invitation, all I wanted was out the back door. When I was running from surrendering to preach, I didn't have a prayer life. Why? Because every time I said, Lord, He said, you know what I want you to do? And my sin of rebellion and running from God, it was in my face continually. You want to know why Jonah did not call out to his God? Because he was running. And I think that's something that most people do not understand about their relationship with God today. That we have the concept that I can live any way that I want to live and God's still going to bless me and do what I ask Him to do. And that's simply not true. I mean, that's the absolute opposite of what a relationship is. Give you an example. Been married for 38 years, loved every year of it, every day, every second of it. But along the way, and usually my fault, I'll admit, along the way, there's been a few scrapes. When I would do something that displeased Beth, something happened. She didn't really have to communicate it to me. I might not have known what I did, but I did know that she was not pleased with me. There's something about being married. After a little while, you just look and know, I don't know what I did, but I'm sorry. Right? You say, honey, what did I do? Nothing. Oh, I know I did. What's wrong? Nothing. Long story short, and it was usually my fault, we didn't get better until I dealt with it. Like I say, most time it was my fault. Most time I'd have to say, honey, I'm sorry. Most of the time, I'd be honest with you, didn't have a clue. You know, I did something without thinking or you know, and you know, just clueless. But clueless or not, I know when my relationship with her is not right. Because I've walked with her for 38 years. I've walked with God longer than that. And I know when it's not right. I can't live in sin and get on my knees and say, God bless us. God, I can't run from God and get on my knees and say, God got us. I can't run from God and have any kind of prayer relationship with God. That's why Jonah didn't pray. He's come to this point. He can't pray. And number three, this one's really important. If you're going to run from God, you got to hang on to this, okay? You got to refuse to give in. Got to be a little bit stubborn. The Bible word for it is stiff-necked. Okay? Jonah was stubborn. They cast, you know, and he wakes up, he's not praying, he's just kind of, okay. So the crew decides, we're going to cast lots so that we can determine who brought this troublesome storm upon us. They cast lots and you'd never guess who the lot fell upon. Of course, it was Jonah. Jonah, when the lot falls on him, they say, okay, what did you do? Who are you? Why did you do it? And they're just full of questions. And Jonah says, okay, it's my fault. I've done it. And he just spilled the beans before him. I am a Hebrew, God's chosen people. God has called me to go and preach at Nineveh. I've went the opposite direction. But here's where it becomes real interesting. Even though he spills himself and tells them everything that he's done wrong, you know what he does not do? He does not repent. Are you kidding me? The storm is raging. And Jonah's like, yeah, this is what I did. It's all my fault. And that's the end of the story. You talk about a stubborn man. A stubborn man. As a matter of fact, it gets really interesting. Jonah never told the captain, if you'll turn this ship around and we go back to our port and let me off so I can go to Nineveh and preach, it'd be all right. Didn't suggest that, did he? Jonah did not suggest, give me the lifeboat and I'll paddle back. You know what Jonah suggested? He suggested, you guys throw me overboard and the sea will calm for you. Throw me, just chunk me over the side. It's Greek for throw, chunk, right? So I got to thinking about that. There's still been no repentance in the life of Jonah at this point. And he's not going to repent. He suggests you guys throw me overboard because he's ready to die rather than do what God called him to do. That kind of makes me shudder. Go ahead, throw me into the sea, let me drown, and you will be just fine. But God. Our text, it says, but God prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah. They did exactly what Jonah asked him to do. They threw him overboard. The Lord prepared the fish. I wanted to call this message top water bait, but I couldn't work it in. But that's what he was. I can see him splashing on top of the water and this big fish just come. And this wasn't a shark attack. This was a consuming. You know, I mean, he just swallowed him whole. And Jonah might have wanted to die. Throw me overboard. Let me drown. But God is still God. He prepared a great fish that came up. And in his mercy and his grace, swallowed Jonah whole. And now Jonah has some time to think about it. He didn't repent when the storm came. He didn't repent when he confessed to the crew. He did not repent when he was thrown overboard and splashing around on top of the water. He didn't even repent when the fish swallowed him. He repented after spending 3 days in the belly of that fish. I could just see Jonah. And Jonah kind of did have a death wish. You can get into that in the next chapter. Sitting in the belly of that whale, or laying in the belly of that big fish, and the seaweed splashing around his ears. You know it had to stink. Have you ever been around somebody that's been fishing? You know what they've been doing, don't you? You know it had to be nasty. And it took 3 days of that man in the belly of that fish before he decided, hey, this is not working. Wow. How stubborn can you be? After 3 days, if you look in chapter 2, verse 7, you find out. He's sat there and he's miserable. You want to find out what it was like, read chapter 2. We're going to start on chapter 3, or we're going to do chapter 3 in the service tonight. But verse 7 says, Jonah is praying and he says, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. And my prayer went up to you into your holy temple. Took him 3 days to remember the Lord. What had to happen? His spirit had to be broken. When his spirit fainted, when he couldn't take it anymore, he decided, Lord, you're right. I've got some good news for you today. I have a message from God. Hebrews 12:6. Hebrews 12:6 says, for whom the Lord loves, He chastens, and scourges every son whom He receives. I have no doubt in my mind that there are people in this service today, and that there are people who are watching online today that are running from God. I don't know who you are. I can't point a finger at you, but you know. You know you can't pray. You know you've been hiding, just hoping that Brother Doug don't call on you for something. God loves you too much to leave you where you are. He does. If you're His child, He expects you to grow. And He can prepare big fish. And you spend a little time in the deep until you come to the realization this is not working. I wondered, you know, as I look at the lives of so many in our world today, I want to say, don't you know it's not working? And they said, Brother Doug, I don't understand why I have one problem after another, after another. Take a look at your life. Is God being honored in your life? Are you obedient to the call of God? Or are you living in sin and immorality and just expect, oh, God bless me because I'm here? Doesn't work that way. There are people that perhaps are here and even watching on TV that you know right now you're in the fish's belly. You've been running from God long. You know where you are. My question to you is, how many more days are you going to spend there? Because what's going to happen is, Jonah's going to call on the Lord. And fish is going to vomit Jonah out on the ground. And he's going to get a second chance. And buddy, he goes running that second time. You don't have to stay where you are. But you will stay where you are until you repent if you're running from God. The choice is yours. I told you in the beginning how to run from God. You say, Brother Doug, you painted a pretty grim picture. Then I've been successful. You can run from God. It's not going to turn out well if you do. Okay? So now you've got to decide. Am I where God wants me to be, doing what God wants me to do? If not, when are you going to get there? Well, Brother Doug, I've got it planned at sometime down. Wait a minute. If God called you, do it. Don't put it down. I've heard a lot of people, one of these days when I retire, don't wait on retirement. Are you kidding me? You may not have tomorrow. you serve the Lord today. You be obedient to the Lord today. The call is still there. Will you respond? Heavenly Father, sometimes, Lord, we need to be reminded we are where we are because of our choices, because of our refusal to follow your direction, to answer your call. And we know that whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. And so oftentimes, Lord, we're reaping what we've sown, and we're still not willing to confess that it's because we're not obedient. Lord, as we examine this book, I'm just reminded the expectation of obedience for all your children. I pray, Lord, now in this invitation, for those who are watching at home, for those who are present, that we renew our commitment to faithfulness and obedience. I pray, Lord, that you will move, and this is your message. You use it for your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.